Hello, and thanks for being with us here on The New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitzamazoz. Hello. Today, we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about the human brain and understand how does it work. Beyond what we already know from brain research, we'd like to look at it from other perspectives. Be with us. Nitza, please. Yeah, the human brain is maybe the most mysterious organ we have. We know relatively very little about it, even though that there are dozens of different researches, and even though that we've been trying to understand it all throughout history. We understand that our brain is what causes us to develop, is what helps us become more intelligent. It causes us to think, plan, do everything, actually. Actually, a person can't do anything without the brain. And there are many different kinds of research that are trying to explain how did the human brain develop. The desire to survive, to keep it evolving, is something that exists on all levels of nature. But still, we see that the human brain developed far beyond simple survival. And there are different perceptions. There are scientists that say that the challenges that life presents us with, like, for example, the need to protect ourselves from the weather, and the need to protect ourselves from other creatures or from nature in general, caused man to develop different mechanisms that helped him evolve. Communication between people, society, the ability to talk, the ability to promise, to decide, all of these abilities, they actually caused man's brain to develop. And there are those that say that it's part of both. One way or another, there's no dispute that the human brain is very unique. It's very different than the brain of any other creature. And this is what we'd like to start talking about on this show and try and understand what does the wisdom of Kabbalah have to say about this process? How does it see the reasons for the unique development of the human brain? What does the wisdom of Kabbalah have to say about this? The wisdom of Kabbalah says that the human brain is truly unique. If the animal brain is meant only in order to preserve life, and barely develops, but in a very slow way throughout thousands of years, then it's not so with the human brain. The human brain develops rapidly, individually, and it develops beyond what the body needs, as opposed to the animate brain. The human brain does not belong to this world. It's not meant to serve man in his life in this world. By the brain, a person reaches a degree of development which is beyond animate degree, and is actually in between the degrees of the animate of this world and the spiritual degree of the upper world. Our brain is what connects us to the upper world. And on the other hand, it's intended and meant to provide us with anything we want. And so what follows is that our desire is higher than the brain. meaning more in control. More in control and higher. Higher meaning that what we want is what our brain does. The desire actually overpowers the brain. Yeah. And of course, there's a conflict between them in this respect, but both man's desire and man's brain, they're divided into the lower part that belongs to our animate existence, meaning we're just like animals, and the higher spiritual part, where we're a part of the spiritual degree. Spiritual meaning that it's not a part of this world. It's a higher degree, where the role of the mind and the heart, the desire and the brain, their role is to elevate us to a higher degree than the one we exist on as simple animals. Throughout history, we developed a lot. We went through many phases. We were like primitive animals, monkeys, and human beings. And now, from the degree of human beings in this world, we have to rise to the next degree, which is already a spiritual one. And to complete our corporeal development. So what's significant or what's so unique about the human brain that animals don't have? That it knows how to serve the desire, and the desire can give the brain orders to develop and to serve it. Even though that we think that our mind is higher than the desire, but that's not true. It only seems to us this way in this world, and it's a mistake. So if I compare it with the brain of another animal, then the mechanism there works differently. How does it respond to the desire in another animal? Also serves the desire. Still, that's all there is. All that the mind or the brain is what man wants or what an animal wants. So what's so special about the human brain, the human mind, that we can want much higher things than what the animate body wants, and the brain will develop correspondingly? This is interesting, meaning the development that you're talking about, it's interesting. It's the opposite to what people think, because you thought that the brain is disconnected from the desire, that it's free, that man, in his thought, in his intentions, in everything he has, in his intelligence, intellect, that he rises higher than the stars. This is an interesting point, because the freedom of choice that a person has doesn't really exist, since it's the desire that controls the mind. It's all about what his animal body wants. So this is interesting. If we thought that the brain and our ability to develop and think, and what do we think about? About what we want. Exactly. Meaning there's no disconnection. The brain won't develop anything that we don't have the desire for. Yeah, it all in all serves. So from what I understand, in addition to the way it serves us, it's divided into two. There's a part in which it serves our animate existence, our basic needs. Let's call it our survival needs. Yeah. And there is our higher spiritual existence. So what are these two parts that exist in man's heart and mind? Our brain, our ordinary brain, that takes care of our body. In this respect, it's like the brain of any other animal, and I'd say much less, because animals have very strong instincts. very sharp ones. Yes, thoroughly developed. And also the brain, accordingly, is completely connected, tied to the desires and instincts, and therefore there's no resistance or conflict between them. An animal won't want to jump off the fifth floor like a human being. There's no such desire, no such imagination even, because its instincts and desire tie it very much to reality, to its abilities. Whereas man, his brain can be both connected to our body and also to our imagination. And this is already a problem. Here, there is a big danger regarding where can this imagination take him. And therefore, it says that a beast is never wrong. Right, animals don't err. It's 100% connected with nature, and nature is never wrong. Whereas man, in his desires, and his aspirations, and his brain, and his fantasy, in his imaginations, he is above nature. And to that measure, he's wrong completely, almost 100% wrong. But it's impossible to be without that, because without that you can't develop. A person has to envision, imagine his next state, and even though that this state is unrealistic, but nonetheless it develops man. Meaning the imagination that exists in the human brain is a part that doesn't exist in animals and does exist in human beings. And on the one hand, this part causes man to develop, but on the other hand, it also causes him to err all the time. Now, these mistakes, since they're not connected to the natural desire or something, this is what happens, or there's some kind of gap between nature and human imagination. There are many gaps. Man is in constant inner war, inner conflict between what and what, especially it's between what I have to and what I want. This is exactly it. I don't think that a horse has such problems or these inner conflicts. Is it allowed or not? Is it worthwhile or isn't? These are all wars going inside of man, conflicts. They happen in the brain. Oh, we call it the psyche. It's what exists between the brain and the heart. They're always in a kind of balance, struggle, conflict, and connection between them. And then in between the two, we all the time feel hesitation and so on. This is what it says about animals, that they're never wrong. They have hesitations, but it's all in order to measure the situation in relation to my abilities. It's like a cat that wants to jump, so it measures, and jumps. And they're practically always right. Unless there are things that they can't take into consideration. Things that maybe we're doing or something. But it has no doubts, because doubts are something that's related to, is it forbidden? Is it allowed? How will I look? How will people look at me? It's in between shame and the competitive abilities that aren't related to the animate body, but to things that are higher than that, to a higher status. These are very complicated things. These are things that really confuse a person. So what is the essential difference between the human and animal brain? I'd say the following, that the still vegetative, animate, and the speaking, in each of these, there is a mind and heart, an emotional system and an intellectual system, where the still, the vegetative and the animate, their intellectual and emotional systems are in complete sync and correspondence with one another. They're there to serve each other, meaning the emotional system develops the intellectual system, the mind, so that the mind will help carry out what the emotions want, meaning the mind serves the heart, even though that the heart develops the mind with its demand of, I want this, I want that. And then the mind develops in order to satisfy the desire. Whereas on the human level, in Hebrew, the degree of Adam, which is not a part of the animate degree of this world, there it works differently, because on this level, we don't simply want to sustain life and serve our body, like on the still, vegetative, and animate degrees. But we want to serve certain demands which are above our body. Therefore, man, on the one hand, he's like any other beast. What? Is there a difference between a veterinarian and a doctor? Not much. We simply appreciate it more, but all in all, so inside the person, there's like a part that's the horse, and on it is sitting the human being. So what is that part sitting on the horse? The human component. Right. So here we have to understand that this is the part which is the transition between the still, the vegetative, and the animate, which is this world, and the spiritual object that has emotions and an intellect, but it has no bodily expression. It has no corporeal expression. It's not expressed in terms of our senses. And what follows is that our mind and heart, there is if on a kind of mission, transferring us into that spiritual degree, that we can be inside this animal and along with it be a corporeal person like any other animal, and as a spiritual human being, which is above the corporeal. And we can also go into different states that are even completely disconnected from our body, and to keep living and existing on the spiritual level and on much higher levels. So we can say that man's mind and heart are on the one hand connected to our physical body, and one way or another, we have to provide it with its basic needs. It's like a box that it exists in, like hardware, suppose. And it's also connected with, like you put it, a spiritual object that also has an emotional and intellectual system. We call that system the soul. Only, maybe I don't want to use this word because people have a false perception of this concept. Their imagination starts working and it starts confusing them, like we said. So you called it a spiritual object, and the human brain is connected to the body and to that object. It has like these two points of contact. Yes, both are desire, as we call it, the heart and the brain. Half of the heart and mind are a part of our animate body, belong to the beast, and half of the mind and heart belong to the soul. This is actually called man, because man in this world is just another beast, another developed animal. Well, suppose it's developed. I'd say that it's not that developed. Compared with other animals, we suffer much more, so where's the development? Yeah, when we look at it, we're not stronger, we're not sharper. The only unique part about us is as if our intelligence. So, what is it? Intelligence. What does it mean? Regarding what you explained, that our mind consists of these two parts. No. There's no point in talking about the upper part because we're wrong when we think that we're working with it. In order to develop it, we first of all have to think about developing the emotions, because the mind does not develop beyond the emotions. It serves the emotions, and therefore we have to understand that if we want to develop, we need an emotional development, and only then, as a result, our mind will develop. What do you mean by emotional development? That will want a desire, for a desire to be more developed in a certain direction above our body, meaning not only in order to serve our body, but above, beyond the body. So a person who's emotionally developed, it's not that he becomes more sensitive toward music and all these things. Emotional meaning that I want to feel more than what I feel in my five senses. This is very interesting. Meaning, because all in all, I'm limited in my vision, hearing, smell, taste, touch, our senses. Yeah, these are senses that belong to my animate body. And I want to develop additional senses in which I might feel a different world. I want to. I don't want to remain inside this horse out of which I look at the world. I want to live outside of this body, above it, meaning you actually want to break free. Yeah, it limits me. It compels me. I have to feed it, put it to bed, wash it. I don't want to. I want to break through the boundaries of my beast and feel the world the way it is outside of my body. You're saying that in order to further develop our intellectual abilities, it's not that we need to develop our intellect, but we need to develop emotionally. First of all, emotionally, and then when I'll have the demand to feel reality the way it is outside of my body, correspondingly, the brain will develop, the mind. The mind will develop in accordance with the emotions, with the new desires, and will allow me to feel this. Is there a danger of our brain developing beyond our emotional capacity? It can't. Impossible. Because all in all, it serves the emotions, and only to the measure that I emotionally feel that there is something else that I want to feel in reality, then the brain starts searching, how can it help the emotions achieve it? What's missing? I don't know. So how do you know that there's something missing? I feel. What do you feel? That something's missing. What's missing? I don't know. This points at a developed desire, this is what you're saying? Of course. This is what always pushed humanity to develop. But now, I want more than what we've advanced to. Now I want to start feeling truly outside of my body. This is really very interesting because I see it a lot in young people and adolescents that seemingly they're very developed. They want something, but they don't know what. They want to come out of themselves. Yeah, they want something and don't know what. Does it point at a developed desire that they have? Yes, and on the one hand, it's a developed desire. On the other hand, it's reaching their limits. Yeah, the brain closes me in. It can't even show me what to aspire for. Exactly. It doesn't know how to show me the picture of what's beyond the body. Very interesting conflict. meaning I have the desire, but it's not exactly clear for what. So this is usually the game between the brain and the feelings, the mind and the emotions. I have a certain desire, and then the brain shows me a picture. Okay, this is what you want. Let's see, how do you get it? Actually, from the Middle Ages and on, there are books written about it. Suppose Ramchal, he writes about the dialogue between the mind and the desire. The mind says, the soul says. The mind says, the heart says. There's this constant inner dialogue, disputes between them. This is what we feel, and we live in between them. And now we've reached a certain point, today we've reached a certain point where as a society, as a humanity, there's a desire that wants more, but the brain can't deliver the goods. It's like a glass ceiling. Yeah. The thing is that we're in a special period in time where even though that the desire does give the brain an order to develop, but there are external conditions that stop the brain from developing, like society, man yields, because otherwise he'll feel that he's not a part of the herd, and he could get hurt. Meaning his desire to be a part of society and not to be different. Yeah. Here begins the struggle between the human part in a person and the animate part. To be inside the horse or outside of it. And outside of it, who says that things will be good? So he remains inside the beast, inside the animate body. Dr. Lightman, thank you very, very much. Our time's unfortunately up. Till next time, thank you, Nitsa. Thank you for being with us. All the best.